When you're born again, it's your spirit that is born again. It's your spirit that is saved, in effect. He says, whatever is born of the Spirit, John 3, capital S, is spirit, little s. In other words, the Holy Spirit regenerates and brings life to our human spirit. When you're born again, your spirit comes alive. Something in the side of the core of you actually comes alive. It had been there dormant and dead, but it comes alive. And I really believe that's what happened when God said to Adam, when you eat of the tree, you shall die. Remember that? Well, you know, in the Hebrew rendering, what it literally was, you shall die. The literal rendering was, dying, you shall die. In other words, something in you is going to die, and it's going to work from within without. And eventually, he did die physically, about 900 years after he was created. But, so, there was something died. And since then, man's spirit had been deadened. Jesus came and said, you must be born from above, which is literally what it means, born again. Born from above. God's spirit will infuse life into your spirit, and you'll be born again. You'll have new life in your spirit. I know that's true. I remember the precise second that I was born again. The second it happened. Standing in a parking lot of a store, looking over the strip center as a fellow was witnessing to me. I literally remember the moment that my spirit came alive. It's like it was the first, I was 19, the first time I had an experience I'd never known in my mind, will, or emotions. Something became real and alive. I saw into the spirit world. I experienced spiritual phenomena. And you know, I'll never forget that. That was so phenomenal. It changed my life forever. I can never negate that that happened. I was born again. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? There was a moment when I was dead and now I'm alive. When I was blind, but now I see. And my spirit became alive. And then the second salvation is of your soul. Now, your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect. It's those parts of the being that make up your personality that's unique to you. Well, would you agree with me that even though you were born again, your soul still had some problems? Even though you're saved, maybe you still had some problems in thinking capacity. You had some wrong thinking, some stinking thinking. Maybe you had emotion that wasn't totally balanced and at ease and on keel forever. Hello? Maybe you have a will that at times gets stubborn and rebellious and hard-headed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, the soul was not perfected when you were born again. So the whole idea is the life and the spirit works its way out to the soul. Now, some of y'all heard years ago, I gave him an analogy. I like this. When I was a kid, I used to have beans. Lord bless her. Sherry's walking. She's got this dizzy demon thing. Lord, I pray you'd heal her. Bless her. Heal her, Lord Jesus. It's a cursed thing that comes on my wife periodically. I think it's a generational thing. I think her mother suffers from it. But when I was a kid, I used to have string beans. Okay? And I would plant them, this little furrowed thing, in this garden in my house. And what you would do is you put the seeds down, and back in those, I don't think anybody, you'd get a packet of seeds. And on the packet, they would have a picture of the full-grown plant. Okay? So I'd plant the seeds, and I'd get a popsicle stick, and I'd glue the picture on the popsicle stick, and I'd put it at the end of the furrow of seeds. And that way, as the little seeds began to come up out of the ground, they would look, and they would see that picture on the seed packet. And then they would know, okay, I may be just a little seed breaking in the mud, just a little fledgling blade, but that's what I'm going to be one day, a full-grown bean plant. Right? Isn't that why they put those things there? To give guidance to the little seeds as they come out of the ground? I don't know any other reason. You know, when you're born again, the Bible says in a number of places, I think it's in James, and 1 John 3, he says that I think in James chapter 2, that there was this incorruptible seed put inside of you. And our job is to water the seed with the water of the Word, water the Spirit. And so we break out of the ground And we're looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look at him by faith, right? And we know, according to 1 John, I think it's 2 verse 3, that when we see him, we shall be as he is. Praise God. So one day, we're going to receive the third full salvation, which is glorification. Hallelujah. This body, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Philippians 3, the last verse. This body, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality in a moment of twinkling of an eye. We will be changed. We will receive glorified bodies. Praise God. Amen. Y'all looking forward to that? Glorified eyeballs, glorified eyeballs, glorified teeth. Praise God. You can eat any quantity of anything and you don't get fat. And your blood pressure and cholesterol remains the same. That's going to be a wonderful, praise God, mountains of bluebell in heaven, I promise you. Of every kind. I really believe heaven's different than that, but God paints these little carnal pictures to give them golden streets and all this stuff. Nah, trust me, it's just kind of stretching our brain. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Hey, there is bluebell we have not conceived of in the world. Amen. Threefold salvation. All right, and that's the good news. So we were saved from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin, and one day we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. Satan will be bound up, wound up, and eventually ground up and thrown out, and we'll live forever. But let me tell you something. Here's the battle. You have a free spirit, your spirit, and God, it says in John 4, that the Father is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit. And in fact, the literal rendering is, says God is spirit. Not a spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship must worship in spirit. So it's incumbent upon us to worship God in our spirit. Spirit to spirit. Okay? Something inside. Jesus even goes on to illustrate that in John 7. He says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And he said, this spake he of the Holy Spirit that they should receive. So God wanted to give the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to his people so that out of them could flow, their spirit could be released to connect to God. God really enjoys our spirit worship. Worshiping in the spirit. Paul says that in Ephesians 5 where he says, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns, making melody in your heart to the Lord, you know, and he says, with songs of the Spirit. As we worship him in the Spirit, our spirit touches his spirit. I believe as we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. He releases the Spirit, and with the Spirit comes the gifts. Because we're told in 1 Corinthians 12, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they manifest in our life. Praise God. Through the body, corporately or individually, healing, prophetic, revelation, all of these wonderful things. Now, here's where the battle, here's where the rub is. He says here in Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. He's saying, you need to be careful to keep it. Or some versions read, watch over it, or mount guard over it, or maintain a diligence over your spirit. Because there is something out there that's doing everything it can to keep your spirit bottled up. You notice how nature often reflects the things of the spirit world? Is that true? Mosquitoes have got to be a type of demons. I see no other purpose of those little varmints. Amen? What other purpose do they exist? Just to buzz around and bite you, suck blood out of you. You know, blood suckers. Ticks are that way too. Ticks are straight demonic. Well, you know what? I believe there's a lot of things in nature reflect. You know, there's something curious. There's this little animal creature. Maybe Bill may know about this. He grew up in the country in Alaska, you know. He's kind of a country boy at heart. I was a city boy. Didn't know nothing about the country. In fact, one time a friend of mine invited me out to his family farm. And I went out there and saw in the weeds a bunch of milk bottles. And I called him and said, look, a cow's nest! Okay. Anyway, in the country, they have these little creatures called beavers. And the objective of a beaver is to find a little river or a little, what, stream, and to build a dam. I don't know why these little varmints do that. What's with building the dam? But they go out there. That's their house. It's a stupid place to build a house. The middle of the river. Ah, they have indoor plumbing. Okay, that's true. Okay. Well, anyway, beavers build dams. Then our guard just decided to dam up, trying to play Moses, you know, just stop the waters. I don't know. They built dams. Their goal is to stop the flow, dam up the river. You know what? That's exactly what the demonic wants to do in your life. Is Jesus said, out of your belly will flow. There is something, little beaver demons, that want to dam up the flow. I have to be careful with that word. D-A-M. Dam up. Dam the flow. You understand? The barricade thingy for water. That's what I'm saying. It wants to stop the flow. All right? Am I right? Everything the enemy wants to do is to keep you. Because if your spirit can be released, your spirit touches God's spirit. Something connects. Okay? I think of that verse in Psalm 84. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You familiar with that verse? It says, truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I think about that. We stand in the righteousness of Jesus. God comes with his peace. They kiss. There is, as we draw nigh to him, he releases the anointing in us. And the demons don't like that. They want us to be bound and all wound up and miserable inside of ourselves. In fact, there's a proverb. This is interesting. Look at this interesting proverb. Just popped in my brain. If I can find it. It's in the book of Proverbs. Turn there. All right. And you're turning there? Have you got there yet? Have you gotten the book of Proverbs? Proverbs 14:14. This really describes it best. This 14:14. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Anybody else have another version for that verse? Proverbs 14:14. What version is that? Whatever how does yours read? With the fruit of his own ways. You know the bottom line is, you know the most miserable place to be is stuck inside yourself. You know, I'm stuck inside the brain. Stuck inside. That's miserable. I think hell is going to be, you get to see heaven, and then you're told you can't come in. They are going to get a glimpse of God on the judgment seat. And then to live forever where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. I'm of opinion that where the worm dies not, that's your conscience. It will never quit. You will have a constant reminder. You'll be stuck inside yourself. And you know what? When your spirit is not released, you're like a lake that's dammed up. Have you ever heard of the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee? It's interesting, in the Holy Land, God created these allegories for us. The Dead Sea is a sea where the Jordan River flows in, but there's nowhere for it to flow out. Whereas the Sea of Galilee has an inlet and an outlet. It flows in and it flows. There's life. It's regenerated. It's refilled. Whereas the Dead Sea, and a lot of people are like the Dead Sea. They receive, but there's no way to give up. They don't release. Their spirit is bound up. They're bound. Now, I really believe that your spirit, your human spirit, in and of itself, okay, it's hard to say because it's not really a place or a thing, and yet in a sense, no demon can get in your spirit because the scripture says that we're sealed with a covenant. Sealed. In fact, let's look at that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. So I believe your spirit has a seal over it. No, but the demonic, what they want to do is crush the spirit or layer over the spirit or hinder or damn up the spirit. One time the Lord gave me a picture in my mind of a demonized person. And what it was, get this picture in your mind, it's kind of gross. But imagine, if you would, leeches on a light bulb. A light bulb covered with black leeches. Blech. See, they can't get in, but if they are on it, they can keep the light from flowing out of it. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is bind the spirit, layer on us, and it's something he's constantly doing, is trying to bind us up. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His primary objective is just to keep you bottled up inside yourself. And he'll use the myriad of temptations, 2 Corinthians 2:11, turn there. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan will use all kinds of methods, devices, to gain advantage over you, to keep you shut down. The context here in the previous verse is unforgiveness. In fact, let's look at a beautiful picture of this phenomena in Song of Solomon's chapter 4, verse 12. Y'all know where Song of Solomon's is? It's right after Ecclesiastes, which is right after Proverbs, which is right after Psalms. So that shouldn't be hard for you to find. Song of Solomon's chapter 4, verse 12. This is a picture, I want you to look at it spiritually, of a believer whose human spirit is bound up. Like the beavers have dammed it up, like the leeches are laying over it. You ready? Song of Solomon's 4:12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A sister, a spring, what? Shut up. A fountain, what? Sealed. Now, I want you to see this. The writer then begins to talk about the potentials, as it were, in this person, the heart, the spirit. He says, your plants are an organ of pomegranates, pleasant fruits, camphor, spikenard, and saffron, and calamus, and cinnamon. You know, it's almost like he's describing the fruits. You know, there are, in Galatians 5, I talked about this Friday night, the fruits of the Spirit. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the law of flesh. And when we walk in the Spirit, we bear the fruits of the Spirit. Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. And the fruits of the Spirit is when you're delivered from legalism. Okay? And he's describing, he says, with all the trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes with the chief spices. Now look at verse 15. He goes on, he says, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. You know what he's saying? He's saying, this is what I want you to be. I actually believe that this is what Jesus was referring to in John 7:37 when he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water in John 7. You cannot find that verse in the Old Testament. But if Jesus said, as the scriptures have said, and he's God, he's definitely referring to something. He just spoke it a different way. And different commentators have different beliefs of what I personally am of the opinion. Some believe he was referring to the verse in Proverbs 4. You can see references to that. And some believe, as I do, that I think Jesus had Song of Solomon's 4:15 in his mind. This, in other words, he's saying, look, you garden enclosed, you spring bound up, the beavers got you damned. He says, I've called you to be a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. Remember Jesus in John 4 said, I will be in you a well, what, of living water. Isn't that interesting? He used the same phrase, springing up to everlasting life. He says, streams from Lebanon. Well, Lebanon could use some streams right now. And so, here's the sad state of affairs with most people. Their spirit is bound up to one degree or another. That's another phrase for being demonized. Hindered. Blocked. And God's desire is we be free. You know, every day the best thing you can do, everything, and this really the sermon title is the best and most important thing, is have a free spirit, because it's very important every day to worship God. And let your spirit touch spirit, because we need his daily bread. That's how the manna comes. That's how the man, if you touch God, I really believe it, in the morning, you ought to have a quiet time, get still, and sing in tongues. Sing in the Spirit. When you sing in tongues, your spirit makes melody to the Lord. You give thanks while you speak mysteries. So what does God do? What does God do? He looks down at a person's life. He sees, you're born again. You're bound up. You've got, because you believe lies, or you're caught up in bitterness, or pride, or rebellion, or lust, or whatever your deal is. guilt and shame, self-hate, whatever your deal is, some bunch of beavers have dammed you up and you're not producing any fruit and it's just out of your belly trickles. So what does God do? Well, God loves us and God wants us free. God's called you to be a well of springing. He wants waters to spring out of you. And the Holy Ghost is very determined to break that beaver dam. And so what does he do? You know, the last place we're going to look is the next verse, because there we see what God does. How does it start out? Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof way what? Flow out. And let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. You know, the Lord in the early morning came to the garden and walked with the creation that was made in his image and likeness, and commune with them in the garden. God fellowship with his people in the garden. He delighted to be with Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam and Eve messed up and got thrown out the garden. So Jesus had to go back to the garden, which he did, the Garden of Gethsemane. In that garden, he shed blood so he could bring us back to the garden where we were called to be in the first place. Amen. That our spirit would be a garden. God wants to come and commune with our spirit in the garden of glory. But the problem is there's so many times we walk around. You ever go to a public garden and they have parts of it closed? They used to have a rose garden down in Herman Park. I've been privileged over the years when I was growing up. I remember we went to it's the house that's on the back of the Nickel. Monticello. When I was a kid. One of the most beautiful gardens. You know, they were trying to emulate the British have glorious gardens. And there's something about a manicured, beautiful garden. It just uplifts the spirit and uplifts the soul. And that's what God wants our spirit. There's orderly. You know, it says another proverb talking about, I went by the garden of the slothful man. Remember that? I went by and the wall was broken down, weeds, and it said, behold, I see a little slumber, a little sleep, and it was rebuked. Isaiah 5 speaks about a garden, which was Israel, where the walls had come down and the enemies devastated it. And the type here is the Lord. He said, I've got to do something to keep this garden. And you know, he says, awake, O north wind. Now, what does the north wind speak of? Even as it speaks here in our culture, it spoke there. It speaks of the cold winds, folks, of adversity. God allows adversity to come into your life. Who calls it? God does. God says, wake up, wind, and blow. Sometimes he's got to allow the cold north wind of adversity to come in our life. Why? Because we're stuck. We're jammed up. We're full of self-sufficiency and self-pride, and we think everything's fine, and yet we're miserable, poor, and naked. And know it not. Remember that? He said that to the Laodiceans. You see yourself rich and filled with goods, and you know not that you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's pretty bad when you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and you don't even know it. Spiritually, a lot of people are. There's just this nagging sense of conscience that they're not doing what they ought to, and that one day they're going to pay. That's all there is other than... That's the Holy Ghost. So it allows the north wind of adversity. But because we have a loving God, he doesn't let the north wind blow all the time. He goes on to say, and come thou south. Now the south winds speak, praise God, of the refreshings. So it's like he allows adversity and prosperity. He allows trials and tribulations and release. It's basically the gas and the brake. He allows it to come in our life. Why? To break the stronghold that's got us bottled down, beavered up, dammed up, and we're not free. Folks, in a word, that's the real purpose of the Holy Ghost, is to set you free. Jesus came out and said, I came to give you life and let you more abundant. And the Holy Ghost has come to lead us into all truth and to come and navigate us. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, to go down, because he desires truth in the inward parts. And he goes down to the inward parts and he points out the lies and deceptions and where we've lied and deceived ourselves, and know the truth, and truth sets us free. And he says that the spices may flow out. That's his heart, that you will bear and be the fruits of the Spirit. Folks, the only thing that lasts is your character. We tend to look at these temporal things in life and wrap our heart around them and get all folks, it's all going to burn and die away. The only thing that will last is who you are. Who you are is all that will last. Your character, who you are, what has died and come back to life. What has submitted to crucifixion and been raised into eternal life. That's the only thing that will last. It's all going to pass away. Probably sooner than later. There are so many people, the vast majority of people on the earth today, have their heart, mind, and soul caught up in the world and the things of the world. But the world's passing away. It's just a remnant, I think. Just a remnant on the planet today that really have their eyes on things above, not on things of the earth. That have their heart in the life to come, not on this earth. And it's a constant battle because of the daily necessities and demands of life. It's a constant battle. Yes, it is. It's a battle. But he gives us weapons to fight it. Fight the good fight of faith. Rise up early. Take the sword. Determined to fight every day, taking the sword of the Spirit, putting on the armor, and pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling. And not allowing the enemy to bind you up. So your spirit can be free. You can bear the fruits. And one day, have plenty of things to show the Master. But prior to that, he can come in fellowship with you in the garden of your spirit. That is really his heart. He wants, I really believe, when Adam and Eve pulled their stunt, and he had to put them out of the garden, he longed to come back into a garden. The difference is now the kingdom of God, he said, is among you. It's in you. I want to commune in the garden of your soul, in the garden of your spirit. I've noticed something with the Lord. The Lord is very interested in me fellowshipping with him about what's going on with my life. You know, sometimes you get tempted, well, why talk about the Lord? He knows it all. You know, he knows everything. He knows every ant on every leaf in the Amazon. What does it matter? No. Yes and no. But why, if that was the case, why did you sit down there while Adam was naming the animals and it said the Lord looked to see what Adam would name them? There's some sense in what the Lord really wanted, the fellowship. God really wants me to talk to him about stuff. He really wants me to come to him and fellowship with him and query things and submit things and ask him, consult things and get revelation and wisdom. Praise God. It's cool. I'm telling you, it's a great revelation. Now, Jerry and I had dinner the other day and we were talking. And my friend Jerry here, he told me the last couple of years. You've had a rough last couple of years, right? I'm telling you what, this mild-mannered gentleman sitting next to David and this guy has been through hell and back last couple of years. But you know what he told me? He went through some suffering. Some stripping down to nothing in ways with his health in many areas and people forsaking him. And as he told me the story, I could just see that Jerry decided, I'm going to be better and not bitter. Better and not bitter. And so as he said something, and I didn't tell you this, Jerry, but it really spoke to me. He said, you know, he says, really, the Lord is my best friend, and I don't know where he begins and I end. I really like that. He says, I'm not sure where I end and he begins. You know, there's a scripture that says, in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? You know, Brother Jerry, you went through living hell. But you know what? God has rewarded you. Because you have an intimacy with him, right? You found his faithfulness. He's telling me about how one day he was sick and your feet were swelled up because you had to sleep in your car. You had nowhere to live. And you fell with, and he was just hobbling his way to church once. And you needed some money and just had, but you were going to go to church, even though it was painful, a long walk. And he cried out to the Lord and somebody, I don't know where, stopped and gave you money. Right? And you found that the Lord just provided for you. See, when you've been through that kind of suffering and you found Jesus faithful then, amen, you never lose that, man. And that's a privilege. That suffering you went through was a privilege of the Lord. Because what you got, you will never lose. You know, God's blessed you now. He's provided. He's got a good job. All kind of good things begin. You know what? You'll never lose it. Praise God. Amen. And I know Jerry has a treasure that if you ever, you're not afraid of losing everything, are you? If you lived under a bridge, Jerry knows if he lives under a bridge, it's okay. Jesus will take care of me. See, I kind of know that experientially. I mean, no, theoretically, Jerry knows experientially. You know, it's really good to stay with the Lord. You don't have to be thrown under the bridge to find out. Can you amen? But you know, he'll do it. He loves you too much to let you skate through life and end up with a paltry return. Lord Jesus, let's pray. We thank you this morning. I know what your desire. It is your desire that our spirit be free. Come, north wind, and blow thou south. You want our spirit to be free, out of our belly flow. You want the rivers to flow out of us. Lord, you delight in fellowshipping in the garden of our soul, communing with us, counseling us, encouraging us, rebuking us, reproving us, loving us, whatever it's necessary so that we can walk in the Spirit as wise as serpents and harmless as doves and overcome the powers of darkness. Jesus, come today. We surrender anew. We surrender anew. We ask you to forgive us for being stuck in ourselves with a backslider mentality, Lord. Lord, we want to be free like the river, the Lake of Galilee, flowing in, flowing out. We don't want to be dead inside of ourselves anymore. Let's all stand. I want to do this. Hopefully you speak in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, then just sing. Mumble, I don't know. But I want us to sing in the Spirit. You know, I shared something the other day about singing in the Spirit. The Lord quickens it to me. It's always difficult at first. It's sort of like a rocket. I don't know if you know it, but these space shuttles, there's an enormous amount of fuel. You know what that fuel's for? To get that thing up and into the past the atmosphere. Do you know, once it gets into outer space, it doesn't need any fuel. All it needs is a little fuel to just redirect it. Once it gets into free space, it just drives the momentum. It's the same thing when you sing and speak in tongues. It takes an enormous effort for the Spirit to rise over the soul and mind and emotion. But you know, once you get up in the Spirit, dude, it's glorious. And once you're in the Spirit, yeah, then you have to come back down. And you recognize, you know what? I live and labor in the atmosphere of the earth, but my heart is in the Spirit. Lord, the Lord has blessed us with speaking in tongues that enables you to get into the Spirit and experience the glories of the Spirit and understand that's where your heart is. And folks, I'm telling you, every day, the most important thing of the day is in the morning. Get in the Spirit. Don't have a quiet time thinking thoughts. Start by worshiping in tongues. Worship. Get in the Spirit. Think at the back end of that, and then you'll think right thought. I just pray the protection of Jesus now over all of us. Lord, come, protect, seal, be a barrier, a wall of fire around about us, Lord, from the demonic. Lord, this week, I pray for a release of the Spirit in our lives such as we've never found it. Everybody said.